Welcome to the Fantasy NBA Today podcast.
All right, so some dude dropped 50 last night, and I don't want to say it was the least likely because, you know, like, Duop Reith is still out there, but it was pretty damn surprising. Malachi freaking Flynn. 50 points on 25 shots off the bench. Crazy. His team lost, but that's because he plays for Detroit. Not Malachi's fault. It's pretty wild when you consider the fact that he shot 72% on 25 shots, and the team still shot under 46% overall. That's not good enough. Jaden Ivey shooting 3 out of 15 may have had something to do with it. Marcus Sasser was, what, 3 out of 13? Come on, guys. Hit a freaking shot. Someone else. Poor Detroit. Anywho, welcome to Fantasy NBA Today. I'm Dan Vesperis, still. We are winding it out here, folks. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then one more week. 11 days. That's all we got left. Crazy. Playoffs begin, and our job switches quickly to figuring out what went right and what went wrong in a season gone by. We'll start that basically the day the season ends. Season ends on Sunday, April, what is that, 13th, 14th, something like that. And the very next day, we'll have a show on Monday. We will immediately start to figure out what lessons we could take away from this year. Whether they be the same ones, previous season, sometimes certain lessons carry over, require us to do a little kind of extra emphasis on the wrong syllable. And some of them will be new. We'll go through the old man squad. We'll go through Yahoo's ranks. It'll be a prolonged dive into everything that we could have taken away from this most recent year. So with that in mind, I say please do take a moment to like and specifically subscribe, because I'd love it if you guys hung out with us all off season long. That's when I need you the most, because there are boring days in an NBA offseason, and if I got you guys out there to come hang with, that'll make it a whole hell of a lot easier. Let's talk fantasy basketball, and we're going to immediately start with the Malachi Flynn game. It's Flynn Day, everybody. By the way, it's also Metu Day, who had 28 minutes again, and had 9-5-3 with 5 steals and a block in yesterday's ball game. And I think we can officially say that Metu is pick-upable. That's reasonable. That's a way that people talk. You can pick up Metu. I mean, I feel like you kind of have to. He's playing great ball right now. Now, from a scheduling standpoint, Detroit's schedule was a good one yesterday because they had 3 games in 4 nights. So that was a really intriguing grab. I realize today, if you're head-to-head, it's not really the day to do it. But they do have a back-to-back tomorrow and the following day. He's basically had 4 good games. Not great. 4 good games in a row. And 5 of his last 6 have been solid. Mostly because he's piling up defensive stats. Which I realize maybe not a thing that can last forever. He's right around the edge of the top 100 over the last 2 weeks. Over the last week, he's kind of like a top 80 range guy. He's also, by the way, only shooting 43% over that stretch. But the steals and the blocks are carrying him. So I'm good with it. If you need steals and blocks and enough rebounds to not hurt you there, Metu's become that guy. Kind of a fun little unexpected add. I don't know what the hell happened with Cade yesterday. Cade Cunningham was not on the injury report, and then like 20 minutes before the game, they decided, nah, never mind. Jaden Ivey, I don't know how many times I got to get yelled at about this dude. Typically when Cade is out, he's startable in 9-cat. When Cade is in, he's not close. He's a points league guy only. And then yesterday you saw, why is he a points league guy only? Well, that's why. I'd rather have Marcus frickin' Sasser, who, by the way, keep one eye on Sasser because he's kind of playing some point guard. And if Flynn doesn't go crazy, then Sasser probably has a slightly better ball game. You know, head to head yesterday, part of that, you know, 3-4 set made sense. Roto, this is not a situation you're overextending yourself for Marcus Sasser. I'd rather have Metu, and certainly if you didn't have Flynn for this ballgame, which very few people did, it certainly ain't getting better from there. Might as well just do the other side of this same ballgame, and then we'll sort of cycle back to the beginning of the card. Jalen Johnson, triple-double. Man, if he could have just stayed healthy all season long. Jalen Johnson, Clint Capella, Bogdan Bogdanovic, DeJounte Murray. Those are the four guys you can play every night. DeAndre Hunter had a better ball game here. If he's heating back up, that'd be nice. But for the most part, he's a points kind of efficiency stream when he's on his game. Doesn't get many steals or blocks. Doesn't typically do a ton of rebounding or assisting. He had a few more in this ball game, and obviously it helps when you're playing a team like Detroit that has no idea how to guard anyone. But DeAndre Hunter, in my eyes, is more of a doesn't-matter range dude who you play when you need scoring on usually an okay field goal percent and then, you know, maybe a couple of rebounds, basically. But that's sort of it. All right, rolling back to the top. Portland and Charlotte had themselves a real lovely 89-86 ball game. The answer to the question of who wins a slap fight? Well, so DeAndre Ayton is still playing for some reason. I don't entirely understand why, but we'll take it because I do have him on a couple of teams. I figured he'd be a nice source of boards and points and field goal percent, and he still is. Missed a bunch of time in the middle of the year, and that might be why that he's still playing. Jabari Walker had one of his big games, shot horribly, but he did have 22 rebounds, so that's hard to overlook. And again, there's this whole, like, how good do you need to even be from a fantasy standpoint to have value if you're playing 40 minutes a night? The answer is not that good. But yet somehow the Pistons have some guys that even if they play 40 minutes a night, I'm still not really sold on making them fantasy ads. In fact, Jabari Walker over the last week is averaging 39 minutes a ball game, and he's outside the top 150 because he's averaging 12-11 on 32% shooting and basically nothing else. So Jabari Walker, a low-level, doesn't-matter play who's basically a rebounds stream. I'd freaking rather have Andre Drummond in half the minutes. Banton was okay in this one. He's above the cut line in that same stretch of time. Although, you know, he has issues also. Last week, Banton is shooting 37% on extraordinarily high volume. So even though he's at 17-5-3 with almost two steals and two three-pointers, he's outside the top 150. But the difference there is that there's just a lot more upside with Banton. Mostly because he's probably not going to shoot super high volume 36.5%. You got to figure that probably creeps up into the 40s. And that's frankly all it would take for him to be inside the top 100. Free throw numbers are lower over the last week, but overall he's not a terrible foul shooter. And then you're getting points, boards, assists, steals, blocks, threes. It's, if you can get a guy that can get you all of those and just like isn't completely ruining you in the efficiency stuff, then you're doing okay. And prior to this last week for Banton, it was really more of like a field goal percent is not great or bad at times, and then free throw is kind of okay. But again, this is that same thing. Like, you have to be good at more than a few categories to be good at 9-cat. I'd rather have Banton. He's my second favorite play on Portland right now, behind, obviously, DeAndre Ayton. And then you got Scoot, who had 22-10, but he's an efficiency black hole, basically, with very few defensive stats, typically bad turnovers, and both percentages have been kind of rough. Although, field goal percent was better in this one, so he's points league only. And that's basically as far as you go with Portland. Chris Murray is a guy we've talked about as like a very, very, very low end. I just need a guy to fill in a roster slot, but there's no fun there. So why do it if it's not even a tiny bit fun? No Nick Richards and no Vasilije Micic for Charlotte in this ballgame. So Grant Williams played point center. He had 5 points, 7 boards, and 11 assists. He's a play when Nick Richards is out. I know his shooting wasn't great in this ballgame, but you can stream Grant Williams for Richards. Davis Bertans got the start, and, I mean, 4 steals is not a repeatable number, so no. Brandon Miller, you play. No Miles Bridges, by the way, in this game either, so that allowed JT Thor to start. Don't care. Trey Mann, he's basically a steals, some boards, some assists, low-end stream. It's messy, man. I don't know who's going to play for Charlotte in their next ballgame. Obviously, if Miles Bridges plays, you play him. Brandon Miller's a play. Grant Williams is a play with Richards out, and that's probably as far as you go against a games cap. And then for head-to-head, you could run a guy like Trey Mann out there because at least he's seemingly playing nightly. Yucky. Lakers got productivity from all 5 starters. No huge surprise there, given they played the Wizards, who don't defend at all. Life will be slightly more complicated here coming up. Lakers playing a Cavs team that's going to be presumably at full strength, although I think they've got a back-to-back there. But look, you think Donovan Mitchell is going to skip the Lakers to play the Clippers? No chance. They'll play their guys against the Lakers. They'll rest some of their guys against the Clippers. So Lakers are probably not going to put up points quite the way they have been. Cavs and the Wolves and Warriors, these are 3 teams that are playing really good defense lately. Well, Cavs are a little messy overall, but typically a pretty good defensive team. So what happens there? There may be a tapering for Rui Hachimura, but you know, for the moment, he's still playable. And then the main 4 guys are kind of your obvious choice. Nice game here from AD, 15 out of 15 at the free throw line. Kind of needed that. Not that he was trending down or anything, but the free throw number had dropped and was not a positive. He had kind of fallen back to a neutral. This game pushed him back up to a positive free throw marker. Cool. For the Wizards, Denny Avdia left this game partway. He was dealing with a migraine, so that allowed Corey Kispert a little bit of extra stuff to do, but typically I don't like to play Corey unless Kuzma's out. And Kuzma was in, because he knew damn well he was going to play against the Lakers. Tristan Vukcevic, 15 points. I don't really care. He's not going to get full starters minutes, and you knew he was going to have trouble with Anthony Davis. He had 5 fouls in his 20 minutes. I really just want Rashawn Holmes coming back. I'm not picking up Vukcevic. I know he might be okay here in a very short run. I'm not going to risk it. Jordan Poole just continues to play. There may be a little bit of an Iron Man thing going on. I would love it if he'd sit a game or two, because then I'd go Jared Butler and I'd go also super hard Jared Butler. That dude's got a pretty good fantasy game, and we're not really being allowed to fully see it. I mean, he had 9 and 7 here. 7 assists, 3 steals, a block, a 3-pointer. He's had a couple of games where his assists have been up around 10 already. But it's just not reliable. It's not happening every ball game or even every other ball game. And you kind of need it to be like every 2 out of 3-ish, which I don't think happens unless one of these main usage guys, whether maybe it's Avdija, maybe that's all we'd really need. But I do think that Poole being out of the way would be the easy path here to get Jared Butler some more stuff. So for now, your Poole, your Kuzma, your Avdija, that's it. And you take it day by day, as you have to do basically with every team right now. Thunder are down most of their key guys, so you're in should-I-bother-streaming-anybody mode. And the answer is kind of. This game was a blowout, so it not a great look at who the streamers would be, but with Shea and Jalen Williams out, you can generally go Lou Dort and Josh Giddey and just, you know, don't expect too much. Celtics spanked them. Boston's starting to play with a little bit of a purpose again. Yeah, you got slightly better games out of Pritchard and Horford, but some of that was, again, because this game was over early. So, you know, Jason Tatum only playing 29 minutes, pretty good example of how the game was done. Huge game here from Kristaps Porzingis. Really, really nice ball game for KP, who moves up. By the way, I know he's missed a lot of ball games, but Porzingis is number 15 per game this year. He's right back there again. 27 and 12 with a steal, 5 blocks, and 3 3-pointers. That was a true unicorn. That was a true unicorn. Indy lost at Brooklyn. Oops. No Miles Turner. May have played a role in this one. Bad Pascal Siakam definitely played a role in this one. Jalen Smith started for Miles Turner and was fine. I was kind of hoping for more, but he was part of units that were just getting run right off the court because Jalen Smith defensively is not very good. You know, he gets a block every now and then, but in terms of like actual rim protection or deterrence, you can just go right through him. What does that mean for Indy? What does that mean for Jalen Smith? Well, I don't know if Miles Turner might be back for their next ball game. That's a possibility. They've got the Thunder. We don't know who's going to be playing in that ball game coming up next. So what we got in this one was Jalen Smith and Isaiah Jackson basically splitting the center minutes. And if that's the case, then both guys are like right on the cusp of fantasy value. With Jalen Smith, you probably want about 24, 25 minutes. With Jackson, he could probably get it done in about 22. I kind of want to see it again before I'm willing to make a claim or sort of make a call on either of these guys. So Jalen Smith, Isaiah Jackson, call him kind of watch listy. If you really needed rebounds and probably some field goal percent, you could go Jalen Smith in a pinch because you assume he's starting. And if he's starting, he's going to get 20 minutes. So he's at least he's not going to really burn you. 20 minutes of Jalen Smith, you can probably get like 7-8 points and, you know, 7-9 rebounds also, which is kind of nice. And maybe like yesterday, he would fall into a steal or a block. So yeah, you could probably go Jalen Smith if you need some big man stats. If you don't specifically need big man stats, you're just going for like a nice big across the board line, that's where I would say watch list. But again, this time of year, you're category hunting, and Smith would make a lot of sense for boards and field goal percent and maybe a little bit of other stuff if he happens to play a good ball game, which he didn't really here. I tried to warn you jerks about Trendon Watford. I was getting yelled at about him, and you know, life, I don't want to complain. I don't need you guys feeling bad for me, but life as the fantasy analyst is a weird one sometimes because I'm out here on an island getting yelled at for whatever, and I have to come back on every day. I don't have to. I choose to. It's nice. It's fun. I come back on here every day, and I have to go over what I got right and what I got wrong. You guys can yell at me with no ramifications for it. Dan, you're too late on Trendon Watford. I'm not. There needs to be another guy out. And in fact, a guy came back. That was Cam Johnson, who got a game off for rest. Watford now is two guys away. When Johnson was out, Watford got real close. We need two guys. Noah Clowney had a crazy 22-10 games, and that also factored into it. But he's not there yet. Mikal Bridges, who can't shoot, you're still starting him. Cam Thomas and Nick Claxton, those are the three. Dennis Schroeder double-doubled, but he has issues with the other parts of his fantasy game, so he's really just an assists play. And that's as far as you go with the Nets right now. Not Cam Johnson. First of all, he's too banged up, so they're not going to overextend him on the minutes side. Not Dorian Finney-Smith, because his fantasy game isn't thick enough. And not Trendon Watford. Sorry. It's just the truth. Orlando and New Orleans, this is a weird one. A bunch of Pels were pissed off at the end of the ballgame. A couple got ejected. As far as fantasy stuff goes, it was nice to see Jonathan Isaac get back up in over 20 minutes. So that's good. Paolo had 32, and somehow it was not a good fantasy game. Wendell Carter Jr., nice little points, boards, field goal percent, stream. That's what he's good for. I'm repeating myself. I hate that part of the gig, having to just repeat the same thing over and over again. I need to just have, like, I've talked about this before. At some point, I'm going to do a project where I just have every fringe-level player, so pretty much anybody ranked between, like, 85 and 160, and it just has my take on all of them. And if it changes on any given night, I'll just change that board. And I can say, look at the damn board. Or if it changes, maybe I'll talk about it. If it doesn't change, that's when I can just be like, look at the board. So for the Magic, Wendell Carter Jr., look at the board. Jalen Suggs, look at the board. I don't care about one slightly bad ball game. Jonathan Isaac, I thought maybe he could go, we could make him a go in Roto. The minutes are just really hard to predict. But damn, when he gets 20, he's a Roto play. I think you could probably have him on your team in a games cap format. Not if you badly need a whole bunch of scoring or anything, but for other, you know, get you some threes, some boards, some steals, some blocks on a decent field goal percent. Not the worst thing in the world. Zion hurt his hand late in this ball game. Larry Nance left. I actually don't remember what it was, and I was counting on this little bubble on the screen to remind me, and I don't know what the hell is going on there. In any event, if Zion has to miss a ball game, we might actually get a little bit of Jonas Valanciunas. Maybe. They might go heavy on Najee Marshall, but in all likelihood, you'll probably get 20-plus of JV, so that would make him a nice big man stream for a game. This, again, is if Zion has to miss one. Dyson Daniels is playing more again these days. You can't expect him to go 6 of 8 shooting, but you can stream him if you need a steal, basically. And that's probably about as far as you go. The rest of these guys are not all that useful for me. Toronto lost by 50, basically. I'm rounding up. And they had everybody out except for Emmanuel Quickley. Kelly Olynyk got this one off as well. Gary Trent got this one off. RJ Barrett got this one off. They already had all those other guys out from before. So the starting lineup, I mean, look at this. Good gravy. Starting lineup for the Raptors in this game was Emmanuel Quickley and Grady Dick, who people have heard of at least. Malik Williams, Jalen McDaniels. I think we've heard of Jaden McDaniels. And Garrett Temple. They reversed the frozen carbonite that he'd been encapsulated in for however long. And Garrett Temple got a start. What? All right, so here's what you need to know about the Raptors. Presumably, Olynyk and Trent and Barrett will be back for the next ballgame. But if we ever run into another one again where they just fully plug on all NBA-level players, Jordan Nwora is the guy. He has the best fantasy game of any of the names that you see on your screen right now, or any of the ones that I've read, plus Muji and Javon Freeman Liberty. Want to do Liberty Bibberty. So Freeman Liberty actually had a decent ball game yesterday. 16-5-6 with a steal and a couple of three balls. Nope, don't trust him. Quickley, yes, you can play Quickley. I know he's super inefficient and terrible in this ball game, but again, if he's last man standing, he's a play. Nwora is the one that sort of jumps up as like, okay, well, if this guy gets some playing time, he tends to go do a bunch of stuff. He's a busybody on the basketball court. He's not just going to stand there and wait for something to happen. Grady Dick is points really only, inefficiently, so pass. If everybody's out, you might take a look at him, but no to Temple, no to McDaniels, although he's slightly interesting if he's playing 37 minutes, and no to Malik Williams, who? Yeah, I know. This game was over early, so you just dump the box on the Minnesota side. We'll just keep rumbling along. Memphis won again, and the Bucks have now lost two games in a row to absolute dumpster teams. Unacceptably poor performances without Damian Lillard. They lost to the Wizards and the Grizzlies. Those are supposed to just be free squares at this point in the season. That's a rare bingo reference on the podcast. Jaren Jackson, 35 points, 4 assists, 3 boards, 3 steals, a block. I don't know how he's done it, but Jaren Jackson has almost salvaged this fantasy season. He's at 66 games played, which, given how bad the Grizzlies are, this is a massive win. And he's a fourth rounder per game now. How the hell did that happen? How did he get up to fourth round per game after his terrible start and all the mess gone on around him on the Grizzlies? Jaren Jackson, congratulations on kind of saving your fantasy season. I know, impressive. Gigi Jackson is a points league guy. Luke Kennard, really bad game here, but when he's starting, I generally feel pretty comfortable playing him. He's coming off a really big one, so you kind of have to look at the average of the two. Jake LaRavia, no. And then Brandon Clark, I'm honestly blown away at how fast he's gotten his sea legs back underneath him here. 14-7-3 with 2 blocks. Missed his free throws, or this would have been a really, really good fantasy game. I kind of need him to get 22 reliable minutes, which I don't know that that's in the cards necessarily with him coming back from a catastrophic injury and his team terrible and there being 11 days left in the season. But I'll be honest with you guys, I added him in a Roto League. You can't go head-to-head. Memphis has back-to-back coming up tomorrow and the following day. He's going to sit one of those. They have another back-to-back next week. He's almost definitely going to sit one of those as well. But Roto side, if you want like 10 to 14 points, pretty reliably, I think he's going to be right in that mix. six rebounds. That's where he's at all the time. That's where he's been. One or two assists and some defensive stats on what will likely be a very strong field goal percent number. Brandon Clark is not a terrible option. You know, like if you thought you were going to get to play James Wiseman for a day and then Jalen Duren didn't miss any time with a knocked out tooth, Brandon Clark is a damn good replacement there. Or if you thought you were going to get a Marvin Bagley run down the stretch and he got hurt, you can go Brandon Clark instead. This is Roto, by the way. For Milwaukee, I mean, get it together, Bucks. Get it together. If Giannis doesn't have a good shooting game, you're really in trouble. And he didn't. And I don't really know how that happened. Brook Lopez had a good shooting game out of nowhere. No Dame again, which you're looking at, you're like, okay, surely Malik Beasley can do something in these games. And the answer is no, not really. He's three-pointers only. Pat Connaughton's had a couple of well-rounded games, but he shot the ball terribly here. I would not play Pat Connaughton, by the way. I know Dame is out, and I know he's sort of the starting point guard right now, but he's just out there to get the ball to other dudes. Sorry, Pat Connaughton, I don't trust you. Well, it's pretty well-rounded games, two in a row. I don't know why I'm being such a jerk about it. I've seen enough. I've seen enough to not have confidence. And then finally, the late game. All these other games were done, and then like 2 hours later, Cleveland and Phoenix were like, you know what, let's make sure the night continues. Cleveland got blown out. Donovan Mitchell was fine. Mobley was pretty good, and Jared Allen was pretty good, but the rest of them didn't do enough. Max Strus, 9, 12, and 8. Pretty close to a triple-double for Strus in 38 minutes. He's back to logging gigantic playing time. And this was like early in the season. That was when Strus was a top 75 guy. And then it seemed like he tried to play through a sore knee for like 2 months before they were finally like, Max, stop, dude. Stop it. You're not right. And he took some time off, and he's come back, and he's looked pretty good since he's come back. And I don't think any of us knew for certain that that was why Strus wasn't playing well, that he was playing hurt for all that time. But it sure kind of seems like it now, looking back, that he was just exhausted and hurt because he's come back and he's shooting the ball well. He's rebounding again. He's passing again. The steals are back up again. I think Strus is a play in all formats right now. And at the very least, even if you don't think that the field goal percent is going to continue, he's a positive in threes and he'll be, you know, neutral-ish in almost every other category. And being neutral in almost every category is a fantasy win, typically. Those guys are 75 range guys, the guys that are just kind of like league average and everything. It's not easy. Phoenix is on a little bit of a push right now. This is the Kevin Durant woke up part of the year. KD 32, Booker also awake, 40 points. Bradley Beal is basically just playing point guard right now. Not really asked to do much. Didn't we all kind of know that Yusuf Nurkic was eventually going to fall apart this year? Not that he's been bad, but he got off to that really good start, and he's kind of settled back near the edge of the top 100. That's fine. That's fine. I'm okay with that. He was over his head. That's by totals. What is he on a per game? 113? Yeah. Funny thing there, too, is that... I think I spilled water on myself. Nurk and Max Strus have almost the exact same per game rank this year. But if you ask most people, I think they'd say that Nurkic has been way, way better. And they're basically tied in ranking. It's just this perception thing. Anyway, you can keep playing Nurk. He's fine. He won't be great. He'll be fine. And Royce O'Neal got a fill-in game here. That's worth noting because Grayson Allen sat this one out. Whoever plays alongside the three superstars in that starting five is just going to be wide the bleep open. I don't think that means that Royce O'Neal is going to magically start shooting like 50% from downtown. But if you needed some threes, whichever guy slots in there is someone that you could probably take a small gander at. All right, that gets us through yesterday's card. There hasn't been much in the way of news this morning. Just one big one. Julius Randle finally did undergo surgery. So he is now out for the season. That's crummy. It does also mean that Josh Hart is locked into value for the rest of the regular season. Not that we didn't think Julius was coming back. Knicks are, I'm sure, waiting on a similar report to drop on OG Anunoby, but hopefully they're still holding out hope on that one. Jimmy Butler is probable, even though he missed shoot around, and then everybody on the Sixers is questionable. So again, just stay piped in to all of your NBA news feeds, because these last few weeks of the season, everything is a mess. A mess, 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 mess. It's a messy mess, and it's disastrous, and we're not going to have any information on anything until as light as humanly possible. So just get yourself geared up and ready to make moves where you have to. All right, let's see what anybody... Quick check of the chat room, just to see if anybody's bringing up any players that I forgot to. Remember, if you have questions that are of the streaming variety, save those for the streaming show, which I think we're going to try to go back-to-back this morning because it's still pretty early and I'm almost done with the first show already. And I don't have to get on. I think I got a phone call in like an hour, so I think we can probably squeeze in that other show as well. Would you play Brandon Clark or Shimezi Metu in the back-to-back? It's going to have to be Metu because Brandon's probably not going to play in one half of the back-to-back. Schedule-based question. Sorry, bud. I need you to throw that in the streaming show. This show is not about schedule. What's up, Dan? How are you doing in your 30 deep finals? Well, it's a best of 3 weeks. I lost the first week 5-4. I'm currently losing this week 5-4. So close and yet so very, very far. So close and yet so far. Yeah, Dr. A's team is a monster and it's got my number. And the really sad part is that this is the week that I feel like I almost could have won. But my team is somehow losing turnovers. Like, Brooke Lopez having 5 turnovers was one of the worst things that could have ever happened to my 30 deep team yesterday. I need my team to just have a day where they have none, because that's my only hope of winning. I need to win turnovers. I need to hold on to 3-pointers and both percentages. And then that's the way I get there. Good luck to me. Steve's team is crazy. Steve's team is a juggernaut. My team is pretty damn good. Like, I'm not in the finals by accident, but I'm very much the underdog. And I thought this week was going to go better than that. I don't know where all the damn turnovers came from. Brutal. Still powering through. This is Air Dunks. My 8-cat Roto League. I'm competitive in rebounds, assists, and steals. Who's the best pickup of this group if I'm attacking those categories? Rebounds, assists, and steals. Shimezi Metu, Luke Kennard, Jordan Goodwin, Jaden or Jalen McDaniels, or Dyson Daniels. That's Dyson Daniels. We got just Daniels, not McDaniels. Rebounds, assists, and steals. It's probably Goodwin if we know if he's playing. And the nice thing is then Roto, if he doesn't play, you don't, like, you can just use somebody else against the games cap. So it's Goodwin would be my favorite. Metu is the next one because he's probably going to get like 2 or 3 assists and a nice collection of rebounds and steals. Kennard, because he'll get you assists and he might just play enough to get you some rebounds and a steal. And then with Daniels, great in steals, but the other stuff is very much up in the air. The drops, TJ McConnell, Keon Ellis, Andre Drummond, and Jabari Smith Jr. Is that who JSJ is? Well, you're not dropping Jabari Smith Jr. And let's see, if you're just looking for those, I would probably hold Keon Ellis because with all the injuries out there, he's getting more rebounds and assists. So hold Ellis. Of all the players on this list, Jabari Smith Jr. is my favorite. And then you go Ellis, Goodwin, Drummond, Metu, Kennard, McConnell, Daniels. All right, there you go. Goofy. Schedule-based at... Yeah, I don't want to do schedule-based. Well, let's see. I'm holding on to field goal percentage. All right, let me turn this question into one that can apply to people that are doing something else. I need field goal percent, rebounds, steals, and blocks. Which guys do you like the most out of Cam Whitmore, Trey Lyles, Haywood Highsmith, or Shimezi Metu? Metu would be my favorite there because he's actually getting not field goal percent, although he could, but he's basically getting all of those with a shot. He's getting 3 of them with a shot to get all 4, and the other guys aren't. So Metu is the choice there if you're attacking those categories. All right, we're going to take about a 10 to 15 minute break while I get this show posted. Then we'll come right back for a streaming show. We're just going to go back to back today. Thanks for watching, everybody. I'm Dan Vespers, at Dan Vespers over on Twitter. I'm not even sure I gave a proper greeting on today's show. But in any event, again, please subscribe. Please, 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 please. That's the stuff I need from you guys right now. I really want you guys to hang out with me in the offseason. Oh, question, is Josh Hart going to play today? I don't know. We'll find out later. I'll find out when you guys find out. 50-50. Hopefully is my answer to that question, but I don't know. All right, come on back around. Don't leave us. We got one more show coming up in 10 minutes. I will talk to you then.